Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this December the 9th in the year of our Lord, 2016. Normally, this is an open mic Friday, but if you were listening yesterday, we brought on Reverend Dan Johnson, who's in charge of missionaries overseas. And so we asked Wes Reimnitz to hold off until Friday for our what we call Rumination Thursday, which is now Rumination Friday. How you doing, Wes?
I think I'm here.
You think you're here?
Thursday, Friday, we're getting it there.
Well, we got a number of things kind of mixed up because Pastor Smith had a funeral on Tuesday, so we had the hymn on Wednesday.
Oh, my.
Yes, and then Dan Johnson yesterday, and today you. By the way, you were mentioning to me that you're a product of some mission?
Yes. And that, of course, is when you called me the other night and said you wanted to bring on a missionary. I said, by all means. But my grandfather graduated from St. Louis Seminary in 1913. And his first call was to be a missionary down in Brazil, South America.
Wow.
And that's where he met my grandmother. And that's why I say I'm a product of mission, because he got married down in Brazil to my grandmother, and then they came back to America and raised a family.
Yeah, Brazil right now, I had a professor who was staying at my church while he was teaching at the seminary, has one of the largest Lutheran seminaries in the world there.
Yes. In fact, my one uncle, Elmer, was president of that seminary for some time.
Oh, I did not know that. Because was he not also president of one of the districts of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
Well, at that time, Brazil was a district of the LCMS.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yes, yeah, so, I knew him pretty well.
So we had quite a missionary background in the family down in Brazil area.
Well, if anybody does want to phone in, normally we don't take calls with two pastors on, but if you got something important, 821-0850, toll free 1-800-730-2727. The important event that has occurred, my wife gave me this from the newspaper, is Ohio legislators have approved a very, very tough anti-abortion bill, where it's called the Heartbeat Bill, and it's a ban on abortions from the moment a fetus's heartbeat can be detected, which can be as early as 5 or 6 weeks from conception. And there's no exemptions for pregnancies resulting from rape or incest, but abortions would be permitted to save the life of a pregnant woman. And what they're waiting for is whether Ohio Governor John Kasich would veto that or put it forth. And that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I saw that article too, and it's going to be interesting to see how that one moves forward. The bills are coming forth like this one. It's interesting when the heartbeat, a sign of life, is there.
Yes. Medicine has helped us. Of course, Christians rely on the scripture and know that a baby in the womb is a human being. But medicine has really shown that they're alive. I go down what's called Lindbergh Road here in St. Louis, and they have a great big poster, and it's a baby who says, "I smiled when I was in the womb."
You know, but don't you think a lot of it, I mean, from a scripture point of view, is, the old Adam or the old Eve in us wants to not say it's a life?
Yes.
I mean, a cow produces a cow, a donkey, but what produces a human is another human.
Yes, and especially when we live in a country where you can be arrested for destroying eggs of eagles. I mean, they're not even flying yet, these eggs. And yet we understand that even an egg is precious. So how can we not understand that a baby in the womb is precious? Now, unfortunately, Governor Kasich recently said he is pro-life with the exceptions of rape, incest, and the life of the mother. So we're not really sure whether this is going to pass. But part of the reason that they quickly put this in, and I believe it was on the last day when they were in their annual session, is because of the election of Trump, president to be elect. And they believe that he will be choosing someone for the Supreme Court that he said would be pro-life.
And of course, yes, he said that he would get somebody that was of the mindset of Antonin Scalia.
Yes,
who was very much pro-life.
Died unexpectedly, for sure.
Right, and was a devout Christian.
Yeah, now, previous abortion limits that centered on detecting a fatal heartbeat have failed in the courts so far. And see, here's where the problem is with certain judges that are appointed with their liberal point of view. They have power over legislation, and that is sad.
Well, one of the signs I think is hopeful for our government going forward is going more constitutional. And if that's a fact, maybe our judges will come back more into line with the judgeships, because those are often appointed by the president.
Yes.
Or his administration.
Yeah, that. But, some people search out a judge, to get a ruling that they would like. But we'll have to see what happens here. I think at least in regard to abortion, the election of Trump is going to be good. Other items Christians can disagree over as to whether what he's planning is good or not for the country. But, there was just a big brew over the carrier as to how many people really saved their jobs. And whether it's 800, whether it's 1,200, I don't know if it makes that much difference.
Right. And another thing to keep in mind that just having to think of, don't we have Right to Life Sunday and things like that, and March coming up in Washington, D.C. in January?
Well, we have more than that. A number of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod people go to Washington to protest, of course, the abortion. And there's going to be a number of speakers. I know that President Harrison often goes with them and speaks. So this is a growing movement, and there's no doubt that Time Magazine, about a year ago, had a chart of what various states are doing in order to help those who are pro-life. One of the things is that in some states now, a young girl cannot have an abortion at school without her parents knowing it. Some other states, you have to take pictures of the baby in the womb. And that has stopped a lot of abortions from taking place because people have thought that this isn't really a child. But when they see the baby in the womb with an ultrasound or however they do it, it does make a difference.
Do you teach it in your confirmation class?
Oh, absolutely. I'm running two with the parochial school a week and then one with the public school, which is double the time on a Tuesday night. But we have definitely mentioned, especially when we get to the fifth commandment, it used to be called thou shalt not kill, but now it's thou shalt not murder.
Murder.
Or you shall not murder. And at first I didn't like that, but now I have come to appreciate it because we're not against killing. For example, we kill animals to eat. We kill in wartime, self-defense, capital punishment. And so my definition of murder is different than killing. Murder is taking the life of another without God's permission.
And therein lies, taking a look at what you would call the law, very much showing our sins.
Yeah, for example, if somebody breaks into your house and they're going to shoot your family, you're able to shoot back as defense. But if they get to the back door and are running away from your house, and then you shoot them, then you're in trouble because your life is no longer in danger. So there is a distinction that's made, and people who have guns concealed or whatever need to know these distinctions so they don't run into trouble.
They have a case going on right now where a police officer shot a guy as he was running away, and that's... And it came up a hung jury.
Yes, it did do that. And, you know, I saw a video of that, and I was kind of surprised that there was a hung jury on that. I don't know what the details of the case was, how he could, in a sense, get a hung jury, which means he gets off right now. But it does seem odd. It was only for a traffic stop, wasn't it?
No, it was a busted taillight.
Oh, well, that's what I mean. It wasn't that he had robbed a bank and shot somebody.
Right.
So that was kind of surprising to me that there was a hung jury on that, but he might have had some good defense attorneys who showed some things that we're unaware of right now.
But, for us, from a biblical or a theological standpoint, it talks about a twisted world that's fallen into sin, don't we? Wouldn't we say that?
Yes.
And the necessity of our of going out and talking about law and gospel. I mean, yesterday you talked about the missionaries, that the mission work that they were talking about. And what I caught was very interesting was how Missouri Synod, of course, was looked upon as being one of the very conservative Bible-based churches out there that these other churches in the world are looking at, but in particular was the whole idea of law and gospel that we were presenting to them.
Yes, they had come out of Russian domination, and unfortunately the churches that came out of that were quite liberal in their thinking. They don't agree with the Bible in a number of historical events, and then in theological events, they were for women ordination, homosexuality, and these kinds of abominations. And so the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the basis of Scripture, stands opposed to those, and they're gravitating toward us more and more. In fact, I don't think we have had a convention recently, especially under President Harrison, where we don't go into fellowship with one of these church bodies. And when that happens, that means when we visit there, we're able to commune with them. And when they visit us, they can commune with us. And a number of them are sending them to our seminary in Fort Wayne. Are you aware of that seminary?
I was part of that first 4-year class that went through there.
Really?
Yeah, we went there in 76. When I found out that they were getting ready to possibly move to Fort Wayne, I delayed my going into the seminary until they got there.
Oh, really?
And so, so I was part of the first 4-year class that went through there.
Wow. Did you ever hear, we talked about Professor Marquardt speaking Russian. Did you ever hear him?
Yeah, I got a kick out of that when you were talking about him. He was actually my thesis advisor.
Oh, wow.
And I remember bringing in my thesis, and he read through it. He says, if I'm going to put my name to this, I got to have something better than what you wrote.
Yes.
And I looked at it and I said, that's why I picked you as my thesis advisor. I knew I'd get something. It wouldn't go through unless it was good.
Yes, yes. He was one of the premier professors. I always talk about three kinds of professors. One of them, you can get the whole class if you read about 5 or 6 books. The other one, you get the whole class if you can read about 1,000 books. But then there's those professors where what they have to say, you can't find in a book yet.
No.
And well, Marquardt was one of them.
I took him for a class on church fellowship.
Okay, explain what that means.
Well, you know, how you reach out to other denominations.
Yes.
And based on your theological stance on there. Well, there were two copies of one book by John Teagen on Confession and Unity in the library. I had one of them, and before class, I was reading it in my room when some of my classmates came by, and they accused me of being a liberal for reading that. And I looked at them and I said, well, how else are you going to know what the other side teaches unless you read it?
Yes, I'm a big believer in that. In fact, some of the videos I show, the youth confirmands, are videos with points of view we don't agree with. For example, the Discovery Channel was trying to explain how there can be volcanic ash where Sodom and Gomorrah was, but there's no volcanoes around. And their explanation wasn't the biblical one where God sent down fire from heaven, but they, you know what they taught? That aliens from other planets had destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
Mm. But you know what? With that class that I took from him?
Yes.
He brought in that, he had the other copy.
Oh, really?
Yes, and he came into class, he started reading, the whole class erupted, and they go, he says, what's the problem, gentlemen? He says, unless you read what the other side teaches, how are you going to defend your point of view?
Exactly. You need to know, because don't you find that in the congregation that a lot of our people watch other television specials, like on the life of Christ? And I've only seen a couple that are really accurate to the Bible.
Right, right.
That we were looking at one where a lot of people don't realize that in Matthew there are two women who are in the line of Jesus. One of them is Ruth, and she was a Moabite.
Right.
But the other one is Rahab, who was a prostitute.
Yeah, from Jericho.
Yes, and people are wondering, well, how did she get in the line to Jesus? But they forget that she married the father of Boaz. Boaz was her son who married Ruth.
Right. Well, and in particular, faith. You know, she believed in the promises.
And she protected the soldiers, hid them from the Jericho soldiers who were trying to find them and kill them. And so they said that when they came to Jericho and destroyed the town, that she would be kept safe. And we know she was, because she ended up married the father of Boaz.
Right, yeah. And again, it's by faith that she believed in those promises that God would deliver and take care of her.
Well, that shows also that when Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, he had therefore not only Jewish blood in him, but also Gentile blood from both Ruth and Rahab.
Yep. And I think that's so important for us to remember that, you know, Christ died for all mankind. Jew, Gentile, race, color, it makes no difference. And That's again, back to your missionary, you know, the great work that the Concordia Mission Society is doing in reaching out and to those Russian territories, that we get that good news, but But also there's that reminder in Acts chapter 1, Jesus says, you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the remotest parts of the world.
Yes.
We're called right here where we're at, and yet at the same time to the rest of the world to go out and tell the good news.
Well, you had that tremendous Galatians passage where Paul says there is now no more distinction between
Jew and Gentile.
Yes. Male or female.
Yeah, yep.
And then free and slave. And I usually use that latter one, free and slave, to make the point. It's not that these people are no longer still slaves. They're still slaves. But when we're talking about being justified, there's no distinction between how a slave is justified and a free man is justified, both through faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Or the other way to look at it, I sometimes look at it as whatever station of life you're in, wherever you're at, husband, wife, brother, sister, neighbor,
yes,
wherever you find yourself, you know, when you go out there and you look around you, like for instance, you know, when I worked in the district office of the Central Illinois District Office for the Senate, we did a study, and we're finding that 50% of the population's unchurched, no faith.
My.
You know? So every other person you're running into perhaps doesn't have that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the wonderful opportunity we have to share that good news of Jesus Christ with people around us.
I was just told by my listeners there, you know, people go out into the street with a microphone and ask questions. Well, one of the times they asked a question was, what do you think of Jesus Christ? And there were a number of people who said they didn't know who they were talking about.
Wow.
Yeah. There's a great ignorance of basic biblical teachings, and that's why we need to be about trying to help people understand that. I ran into one person when I talked about Martin Luther at the time of the Reformation. The person thought I was talking about Martin Luther King.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I've indicated to people putting out information that there's still a lot of people who don't realize the Martin Luther of the Reformation and his teachings. But that's why we have sermons.
Right. Well, and also Sunday schools, Bible classes, you know, and it's always, you know, I always talk to the people, you have that opportunity to share, if nothing else, if you don't feel like you can share the good news, bring them to church. Let them hear the
right
good news.
By the way, tomorrow at Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm, where I'm helping out, in the gymnasium, there's going to be a whole bunch of tables there with gifts for Christmas that you can purchase. It costs $5 to get in, but then I'm going to have my own table there with a lot of the books that we've written and others have written for the publishing house I own, Trellian Productions. So if you're at all interested, it's from 9 till 2 tomorrow, Trinity Lutheran Orchard Farm. That's straight out on Highway 94 when you get off at 370, right across the Missouri River if you're coming from St. Louis. And you just go 5 miles and to the left when you get off the expressway. And sure enough, you're going to be able to have a wonderful opportunity. Where are you preaching this Sunday, if you are?
Well, actually, I'm not preaching. We're having the Sunday school program.
Oh, yeah.
At Trinity Manitou.
Okay.
And I'm kind of heading that up, introducing it and having the prayers and that. But it's kind of interesting. Of course, you know, they're a smaller congregation. They call it the children's program. I call it the family program because they've got adults and children interacting as they tell the story of the birth of Christ and its meaning in our lives.
Yes. Yeah, ours is going to be on Sunday night, the week before Christmas. So, good talking to you. Hopefully, we'll get back on our schedule Thursday. I'm Tom Baker, and that was Wes Reimnitz. Thanks so much for listening. God bless until Monday.
The management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.